Warning, content not suitable for children. Listener discretion advised, yo. Screaming Chewy Show, your source of entertainment and overall fuckery. And the show starts now. This episode is brought to you by W Energy. Tired? Craving an energy drink, but you don't want to feel shitty and jittery afterwards? Well, try W. W Energy has this Neurofactor. It's a patented all-natural coffee cherry extract to help fuel you. Yeah, this ingredient is what gives W its laser-focused and fast reflex effects, making it perfect for gamers. So, whether it's just had a long night, you know, just need some energy to go to work, maybe a pre-workout, or you want to get some gaming done, W is for you. I highly recommend this. And they got some amazing flavors as well. Very creative too, such as Dragonade, right? Dragonberry and Lemonade, Galaxy Grenade, Beach and Peach. Yes, delicious. It's basically Kool-Aid that gets you pumped. So what the hell are you waiting for? Check them out at dubby.gg. That's dubby.gg. Yeah, and guess what? And for 10% off at checkout, enter this coupon code, right? I got you. It's Screaming Chewy SH, all right? All together, caps. Screaming Chewy SH. And yeah, you got 10% off. Dobie, check them out. Hey everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of Screaming Chewy Show. And I'd like to welcome special guest, Tanya Todd. How you doing, Tanya?
Meow, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
And man, you've been really busy. So tell me about yourself. Let's get to know you.
Well, I am an author, actress, and activist. That pretty much sums up what I do. But in terms of busyness, right now I am smack in the middle of Banned Books Recordings, which is, I do this series called Banned Books Conversations. These are the books right here that we're doing this year. So I have to read all of these books and then have a panel discussion with seven different groups of people, seven different books. And then for Banned Books Week, each day, a new episode will come out. So I'm in the middle of recording all of that. And then I happen to be casting for my directorial debut. So this week is busier than most.
Damn. So tell me about these banned books.
While banned books are literary works that have been banned from either a school or library curriculum, and I am anti-censorship in general. So part of my activism is discussing the importance of reading banned books, why people's right to read should be protected, and then kind of going a little bit deeper into why in particular this is happening again. Because banning books isn't new. It's been happening for centuries, but we have seen recently an increase in the types of books that are being banned. And so we are kind of dissecting that. But in addition to that, we're reading the books and discussing what material might be offensive to some people. Why should people read it anyway? Or should some people not read it? That kind of thing.
That makes sense. And yeah, you're right. That's a whole new type of censorship, right? Because on the internet, you know, Facebook and all these platforms, you could just take down the post or delete your account. But, you know, that's another way, you know, just don't allow that book into the library, right?
Right. It's one thing to not want to read a book. That's fine. Or, you know, if you're a parent and you don't want your child to read that book, you can exercise that right as well. But you should not be telling other people or other people's children what they're allowed to read.
Yeah, for real. And I think it goes beyond getting offended, right? I think it's because knowledge is power. You know, they take knowledge away, they take that power away.
And that's exactly what it is. It's trying to control the information that is being received in the world. And you can control the narrative if you hide these things that you don't want people to know about. And really, it's more about that, because what we have found is that most of the people making a stink about this aren't even reading the books that they're claiming are offensive. So how do you know that the material is offensive if you haven't read it?
Yep, true, true. And it's more of them trying to just control their agenda, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not always the case, but in large part, and definitely in recent years, that's what it is.
So tell me some about some of your favorite banned books.
Beloved is one that I covered last year, and it was just absolutely gorgeous prose and a heartbreaking story. I won't say that it wasn't difficult to read at times, because tragedy and trauma can be a challenge to absorb, but that doesn't mean it didn't have literary merit.
It just makes it deeper.
Right. And then another book we covered last year was Stamped, which it was actually the YA version of Stamped, the remix, which goes into the history of racism, anti-racism, and you, basically, and what the difference is.
Oh, wow. Wow, I would love to read that. And
I would recommend that to anyone. Everyone should read that book.
Wow. And that's crazy they banned that. Wow.
Yes. Well, you know, some people don't want you to know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like kind of like erasing history, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what some people are trying to do.
And who decides what book gets banned? Is it up to the library, or is it beyond that?
It's different in every case, but here's the thing. Who should decide that sort of thing? Should one complaining parent be able to remove a book from an entire school system?
Yeah, true.
Just don't read it, you know? Exercise your choice. Don't remove mine.
For real. Same thing like television, right? You don't like the show, change the channel, right?
Exactly.
And you know, and you're right, this has been going on for a long time, you know, like book burnings.
Right.
And wait,
this is something the Nazis did. Do you want to be on the same side as what the Nazis were doing?
Yeah, for real, right? But now they just try and, like, you know, hide it as something else, right?
They do. It's protecting the children. And they hide behind that phrase so frequently. And sometimes those children are AP high school students who are about to enter college. So, okay, they're under 18 and we can call them children for that, but they are, most of them are ready for this material. They've been living in the world. You can't keep their heads in the sand forever. They need to know what is happening.
Yes, and they are hungry for knowledge as well. And they're our future.
Right, and if you don't give it to them, they're going to find it elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, same thing with Japan, right? Because you know, Hiroshima, Japan acted for many years like that never happened, right?
And that's dangerous.
And, you know, people are, you know, they hid that from everyone, right?
Right. And like the Tulsa fires here, like so many people didn't know about that.
Yeah. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, I don't know that I'm the right person to tell you about that, because even I didn't know about it for years. And here's the crazy thing. I'm Black. This is something that I should have known growing up, but because it was erased from history books, I had to learn about it in more recent times as well. And in a nutshell, there was a thriving Black community in Tulsa years ago. You know, they're doing the separate but equal. Okay, we'll be separate. They had their own Wall Street going. They were doing wonderfully. And there were some racist people who just could not handle their success. And they destroyed an entire community. Wow. They went in and they slaughtered people and they burned down their buildings and they ruined their entire economy, their entire community, just because they didn't want them to thrive.
Wow.
And did you hear about that in school? Did you read about that?
Nope. I had no idea.
No, what we're taught is that Black people have never been as successful as white people. And that's simply not the case.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
And I say I'm half white, too. Like, I am definitely not anti-white, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have been nice to learn about both of my histories, not just one.
Yes. You know, just like Christopher Columbus, right? We grew up thinking
right
hero or something, right? But we found out later it's the opposite. Yeah, and you know,
we've been lied to for years, and the more information that we have access to, the better we will be equipped to determine what is true and what is false.
You know, and this is going on for, you know, as long as humans been around, you know, like when, like, for example, Christopher Columbus, right? When he took over, you know, all of their history, all of their religion, they destroyed that, you know, they wiped yes. from history. So there's a lot.
It's genocide. That we don't know. It's actual genocide.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You erase them and their history, you know?
And then we're going to celebrate him every year? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. It still blows my mind. But why don't you tell me about your acting career?
Well, I started off as an author. So I was writing a story. Really, it comes down to I woke up from a dream one night. Like, I just had this very visceral, vivid dream, and it wouldn't leave me alone. And there was a story there. So I thought, well, maybe I should write it down. I didn't think of myself as a writer, but it wouldn't leave me alone. So I started writing it and started writing it. And it was kind of like a fan fiction for two Marvel characters. But I didn't even know what fan fiction was. I wasn't aware of that yet. But when I started writing it, my friends told me, oh, yeah, it sounds like fan fiction. And in a sense, it was. And as I was writing what happened in my dream, I kept getting these thoughts and these lines and these images and actions that weren't quite them. It's like the characters looked like them, but it's not something these characters would do or say. But then that was gnawing at me, and I couldn't ignore it. So I started writing a side story or just putting the notes over here. And it wasn't really writing it. It's just, all right, if I get it out of my mind and put it over here, it'll leave me alone so I can write this story. And somehow in the course of that, I never finished the original story because I was writing so much here that this took over. And in this story, there was a woman who quit her job to become an actress. And somehow her life manifested into mine. Nobody knew I was writing this book because, you know, I told my friends about the fan fiction thing, but I didn't tell people that I'm just writing a novel now, because who just starts writing a novel out of nowhere? I didn't want the naysayers. I didn't want the, you know, unasked for advice. Let me just figure out what I'm doing. So I did not share with the world that I was writing. Again, the woman quit her job to become an actress. And at a certain point while I was writing this secretly, my boss came to me and said, I'm so sorry. I can't afford to pay you anymore. I'm going to have to just eliminate your position entirely. The severance he gave me was exactly the same as the severance that my character got.
Oh.
And then he said, I feel really guilty about doing this. I'd like to help you get started with something new. I think you'd be a really good actress and model. Let me introduce you to a friend of mine and she can help get you started. And it was just, that seems like a strange sign from the universe.
Yeah.
Especially if he didn't know about the book, like, why would you think that I would even be interested in something like that? And so I met with her and she did get me started, and I've been going ever since.
Wow, that was meant to be. That's crazy.
It was the universe manifesting.
Yeah. And you know, when the universe presents certain doors, you know, get these opportunities, just take it.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah,
I have learned to listen to God and the universe in these matters. It's like, okay, I have to deal with the fact that I'm not completely in control of everything. That's not easy for me, but I trust God and I am listening to the universe guide me, show me where I need to go next.
Yes, yeah, same. And you know, sometimes I've been presented with these doors and opportunities and I wasn't ready at the time. Mm-hmm. Later they come back like, hey, you ready now?
Yeah. And we have to be careful. We are guilty of closing doors on ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah. True. Wow. And so did you get this novel done? Or did you focus on your acting career?
I did. Right now it is with my literary agent and it's on submission right now.
What is the most dangerous book you have ever read? How about Mein Kampf by the notorious leader of the Nazis, Adolf Hitler? Or the book the Beatles warned us about in their classic song, Revolution, quotations from Chinese Communist leader Chairman Mao. Maybe you would hide your copy of Bertrand Russell's Why I'm Not a Christian. Or even semi-fictional works like Salman Rushdie's book, The Satanic Verses. That book had him living in hiding from angry Muhammad followers. But what about a book that is most likely not only dangerous to own and read, but could very well be illegal in many countries? Roderick Edwards' book, How to Overthrow a Government, takes the reader on a historical and hypothetical journey of revolution, civil war, and sedition. From ancient Chinese farmers turning their farm tools into weapons, to the attempted impeachment of U.S. President Trump, this book has it all. Get it today before it's banned forever.
Turns out it's the first in a series. But it's not published yet. I don't have a publisher. At this point, we are in the process of trying to find a publisher. That's what it means to be on submission, is that the literary agent has helped me get it into the best shape it can be. And then she starts shopping it to different publishers to see who wants to take on the project.
Oh, okay. Man, that's a very long process.
It is. It takes years. And I have reworked and revamped this story so much. And in fact, last December, I was receiving feedback from other publishers saying, this character really feels like, the one character really feels like he's a vampire. And it's like, oh, I've heard that, people kept saying that, but this character talks to me more than anybody else in the world. Or not anybody else in the world, but any other character in the world. Like, he always has my ear and he never told me he was a vampire. And I kind of sat and talked to him about it. And he's like, well, you never asked. And it was very frustrating because, remember, I told you this was based on a Marvel character. Mm-hmm. That Marvel character is Loki and he is the god of lies. Why did I think that the god of lies was telling me the truth?
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy.
And so I thought, let me just try and rework this as a vampire novel. And it was, the elements were already there. There were references to pulse that he was feeling and blood that he was thinking about. And he mentions a blood contract. And it's, well, no wonder, like it was there. It was there already. There was so little that I had to change. I just had to point to it more and commit to it. And it's such a better novel now.
Wow, that's badass. So it basically was, you just change a few details and it all fit together.
Fewer than you think. Like I thought I'm going to have to revamp this whole thing. And it was like, oh my gosh, the elements are already there. This line already there. This line already there. No wonder they were getting that impression.
That's crazy. And what's this novel called?
Right now it is called Guiding the Storm.
Love that.
And I say that right now because they're always working titles when you're shopping a novel. It's always a possibility that the publisher is going to say, we love the novel, we want you to change the name.
Okay. And how long you been working on it?
The original fan fiction I started in 2014.
Oh, wow.
And when I started turning it into a novel, that was probably sometime near the end of 2015. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I just was writing and writing and writing. And then in 2016, I joined Henderson Writers Group and they helped me learn how to write and they helped me to learn how to turn it into a novel and follow structure and polish sentences and not repeat words too many times. Like, just, there are so many elements to writing a good story And my beginning material was so raw and rough that I had a lot of work to do. I had way too many words written first. It was 200,000 words. And that's like, we're talking Lord of the Rings there.
Wow.
Like that's too
much. Bible right there.
So they helped me to shape it into a manageable sized novel and polish the prose and find my author voice, basically.
Wow. That was meant to be.
Yes. So fingers crossed it will find the right home with the publisher. But I have plenty of other things keeping me busy in the meantime. And I've already written another novel since then that is separate from that novel. And I'm working on polishing that now before I give it to my agent.
Damn. And does writing come to you easy, or you just when it comes to you here and there, just write something, or does it just flow?
So I've never experienced writer's block per se. I am a bit of a perfectionist, but I'll sit there and it's like, I won't want to write the sentence until I have it perfectly. And I have to get over that because you can't edit a blank page. You need to put down whatever terrible sentence you have in your brain so that you can fix it and make it pretty. And I've had to learn the hard way to just get over that. Don't freeze because it's not perfect the first time.
Yes.
But once I started writing, I had stories talking to me all over the place. It's like, okay, well, how about this? So I've just learned when these muse moments come to you, you just write it down. Just write it, save it, store it all together. And when you are ready to write that story, you already have thousands of words and notes to help guide the process. And I have a very good relationship with my muse. We know when to show up. We get the work done, and I actually love the editing process. So I wouldn't say it's easy, because writing is definitely hard work, but it's not a struggle per se to come up with ideas for stories. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's just very time consuming, right?
Oh, of course it is, but anything worthwhile can be time consuming.
Yeah, facts. You know, like when I edit audio, like, oh man, I used to hate it.
Yeah.
It's not like homework, you know?
Right.
But the finished product is worth it, you know, when you're like, man, I really did all that, you know, it feels good.
Yes. Yeah, I get that. And I feel for you. Editing audio is not my favorite.
And man, when I first started, I used to be horrible at it. I spent like 2 hours trying to edit all this. Then I messed it up and I didn't know how to fix it. So I had to start over.
But you put in the work and the time, and now you're good at it, right?
Yeah, facts. Yeah. Yeah. And man, I love what you're doing, by the way. And yeah, about these banned books, by the way, too. I think more people should do that, you know, bring that to light, because many people have no idea this is going on.
True. And many people don't know about these books, or they don't understand that people are trying to take information away from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're doing it right under our noses, you know? So I just love that you mentioned that. You know, people need to wake up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. It started because I told you I identify as an activist, and I used to be on the board for Henderson Writers Group. Since they were so wonderful to me and helping guide my career as an author and teach me what I was doing, you know, what I needed to know to be a good author, I ended up volunteering for them first through a program called Dime Grinds, which is an author meet and greet every Sunday from 2 to 4 Pacific. About 3 or 4 authors come in, they talk about their author journey, they read from their work, answer audience questions, and they sell their books. And when they asked for someone to volunteer for that program, you know, I was so shy. I was hidden in the back of the room and I was afraid to even raise my hand, but I felt compelled to help because they had been so giving and gracious to me. And they said, all we need you to do is sign people up and schedule. Well, I am excellent at scheduling, so it felt like this is something that I can do. So I timidly raised my hand. And as soon as I did, another gentleman in the room raised his hand and said, I'll help her. I was like, oh, thank you, God. You know, already not on my own. And it was almost instantaneous. He didn't want to lead it, but he absolutely wanted to help. So, okay, we were a team. And I started volunteering through that. And then because of my work doing that, someone nominated me to the board to be the education chair. And I ended up winning. And what that means is I would provide speakers for the group or put on workshops, bring in people to put on workshops. I ended up coordinating the Las Vegas Writers Conference for a few years. And I did that for 4 years. I worked as the education chair. And when I was done with that, when I stepped down from the board, because I needed to focus on other things, I realized, you know what? I'm not giving back now. I'm not doing anything for my community. So I thought, well, what can I do that will be something I'm actually passionate about doing? So one thing that I do every year, which I don't think is enough, is a donation drive for Street Teens, which is a homeless teen center here. And it's just one day of bringing in baked goods and toiletries and gently used clothing and whatever they actually need at the time, and providing that to the center, the homeless teen center. But that's only one day a year, so that's not really enough. So I decided I would do banned books conversations, because that's, books can last you an entire year. Banned books were becoming a thing, and this was my way of giving back. And then something happened as a result of that. I am friends with some people in the UK. One of those wonderful people is Rhea Kerrigan, and she had this series called Femme on Film. It was a podcast, and she started getting burned out doing that podcast all by herself. So she invited me and a group of three other ladies, it's five of us total, to be a collective. So we are the Femme on Collective, and we get to each talk about our different topics. Well, one of my topics is active activism. I also talk about fitness, but active activism is now a way that monthly I can bring someone on, share their advocacy, and I hope encourage people to be more active in their activism. So this is why Banned Books is part of it. And they've actually agreed to let the Banned Books series run on Femon Collective, which is very gracious of them, because I'm bumping all of their material for a week.
Don't plugging it away, you know?
But they support what I'm doing. And a lot of them are actually guests on the show. Like, they're part of the panels that are discussing the book. So we're all very passionate about the right to read.
Wow. Man, I love that. Spreading that knowledge and encouragement as well, you know, to do a little bit better, you know, let's all help each other out.
And that's the thing. I just want to elevate and lift others. That's my goal in life.
I love that. Well, you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
And where can people find you, find your stuff, you know, everything you're doing,
what
you
got? I am across social media at Ms. Tonya Todd. That's MSTONYATODD. I'm about to start a crowdfunder for my first short film, which is called Mourning Sacrifice. And that's mourning with the U, like in loss. So if you follow me on social media, you'll see when I start posting that. I have a lot of very exciting incentives that are vampire themed or detective themed, because the film is about a vampire who poses as a detective to help the woman he loves search for her missing husband. So we've been able to play with some of the themes there with the incentives. And then my website is mstonyatodd.com. You can find me on the Femon Collective, or you can find me at Dime Grinds every Sunday. Not every Sunday, the first Sunday of every month.
Love it. And keep doing what you're doing. I love it.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it. It was nice talking to you.
Yep, nice talking to you. Yep. Bye. Bye. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. And if you'd like to support this podcast, check out anchor.fm/screamingchewy@gmail.com. Any contribution is greatly appreciated, and that makes you my producer. If not, that's cool. I'm just happy you're tuning in. And hey, Screaming Chewy Show merch. Yeah, that's right, at teespring.com. Just Google Teespring, T-E-E Spring, Screaming Chewy Show. Just Google that. It'll take you right there. And yeah, you could buy hoodies, t-shirts, socks, masks. You know, if there's any stuff you'd like to see on there or purchase, just let me know and I'll add it on. And yeah, you'll be rocking, styling. Social media, don't forget to follow me on there. On Facebook, Screaming Chewy Show. I like to share memes, just make up stupid shit. Share my episodes on there and just whatever. Check out my YouTube for video versions of my podcast episodes. Also, in between episodes, I like to add me streaming. Yeah, watch me get scared playing a creepy game or die playing PUBG or some shit, you know what I mean? And yeah, just check out my YouTube and Twitter. It's at Screaming Chewy. Yeah, not Screaming Chewy Show. I should change it to that. But for now, it's just Screaming Chewy. And thanks again for tuning in. See you next week. Peace.